Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nadya Samudra Giraya. Sarvanaspati Virudha. Palanchishodaya Sarva Kaman Anvitu Tasyavai. The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers and active drugs in every season paid their tax quota to the king in profusion. Purport. Since Maharaj Yudhisthira was under the protection of the Ajita, the infallible Lord, as above mentioned, the properties of the Lord, namely the rivers, oceans, hills, forests, etc., were all pleased, and they used to supply the respective quota of taxes to the king. The secret to success is to take refuge under the protection of the Lord. Without his sanction, nothing can be possible. To make economic development by our own endeavors on the strength of tools and machineries is not all. The sanction of the Supreme Lord must be there. Otherwise, despite all instrumental arrangements, everything will be unsuccessful. The ultimate cause of success is the dive of the Supreme. Kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira knew perfectly well that the king is the agent of the Supreme Lord to look after the welfare of the masses of the people, mass of people. Actually, the state belongs to the Supreme Lord. The rivers, oceans, forests, drugs, etc. are not creations of man. They are all the creations of the Supreme Lord. And the living being is allowed to make use of the property of the Lord for the service of the Lord. Today's slogan is that everything is for the people, and therefore the government is for the people and by the people. But to produce a new species of humanity at the present moment, on the basis of God consciousness and perfection of human life, the ideology of godly communism, the world has to again follow in the footsteps of kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira Parikshit. There is enough of everything by the will of the Lord. And we can make proper use of things to live comfortably without enmity between man and man, or man and animal, or man and nature. The control of the Lord is everywhere, and if the Lord is pleased, every part of nature will be the river will flow profusely to fertilize the land. The ocean will supply sufficient quantities of minerals, pearls, and jewels. The forest will supply sufficient wood, drugs, and vegetables. And the seasonal changes will effectively help produce fruits and flowers in profuse quantity. The artificial ways of living, depending on factories and tools, can render so-called happiness only to a limited number at the cost of millions. Since the energy of the mass of people is engaged in factory production, the natural products are being hampered, and for this the mass is unhappy. Without being educated properly, the mass of people are following in the footsteps of vested interests by exploiting natural reserves. One second. And therefore, there is acute competition between individual and individual, nation and nation. There is no control by the trained agent of the Lord. We must look into the defects of modern civilization by comparison here, and to follow in the footsteps of Mars Yudhisthira to cleanse man and wipe out anachronism. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sitaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greeting from Sham Ashram in Cali, Colombia. Very unique place. We're isolated, but at the same, you know, right behind us is huge amounts of land. But we're 10 minutes from the city. City's quite large, like New York or something. It may take you an hour to go from one place, one end to the other. The second or third largest city in Colombia. And beautifully situated in the valley, I guess in the mountains, because the temperature's always probably 85 the whole year Fahrenheit. I'm not sure I'll be able to complete the whole class. Today, we only have 4 ashram residents that manage the whole thing. 2 of them are getting married, and Kasturba has, Prabhu has flown into New York to do the Vibaha Samskara Yajna. And one of the people getting married is Jimena, who previously was a yoga teacher at the Bhakti Center and one of the congregation members who, you know, somehow or other moved from the Upper East Side of Manhattan down here to really engage in devotional service and help us with our mission here and develop our life in a nice way. So we're really happy for her. And the place is absolutely, it's just stunning. I mean, even the trees, what they had is they have these strings, the beautiful trees, and hanging from the trees are these bottles all filled with beautiful flowers. And I'm sitting here on the porch of our main house where I can look over everything. And it's been a particularly exciting week because Madhava, famous kirtanier, and Kishore have been in Kali. And we had the honor of hosting them at our ashram, and it was one of the best events I've ever been to. I think it was the most absorbed I ever gotten to Kirtan. And we had about 30 people from our congregation. And then there's a festival here, ISKCON's 50th, so 70 other people came. And, you know, I'm pretty particular, but it was really nice and done. And we went to the main park. And they had a nice setup for Kirtan yesterday. So it's kind of kind of pretty blissful here. And extremely noisy as people are coming in for the wedding and okay, but let's get to this important verse. You know, the Bhagavatam, it tells the story of Krishna But in telling the story of Krishna, there's so many salient philosophical points that are being presented here. And one of the salient philosophical points that's presented is the ideal way in which you should live. Remember, one of the previous verses, Maharaj Prickett said he has had no ideology. Prabhupada said no ideology of his own. Ideology means your social and political view, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican. He had no ideology of his own. Because an ideology of your own is looking through the matrix of your own modes of nature, which are mixed with your vision to enjoy the world and not to serve the world. The ideal ideology comes from God, where there is the vision to serve the world and not to enjoy the world. So we don't have an ideology of our own, but we have an ideology of God. And that's called Vanashram. And Prabhupada is particularly empowered. The clarity of Prabhupada in everything was astounding, but his political and social conception, as you'll see, is particularly inspiring. I remember years ago, I had written about this, as I went to, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but met a lady in Vrindavan who became a devotee and stayed. Which I, she Radhe, I believe, and I taught her philosophy and Krishna consciousness, and she wanted to meet her parents, and I drove out there, I think, with Rati Krishna, and getting there, we found out that they were conservative Krishnas. But anyway, to make a long story short, when I was lecturing, because it was near Gita Nagari, one point I made is that my Guru Maharaj didn't believe you can separate spirituality from economics. And therefore, one of the last things he was doing was showing us how to live off the land. He was on his way to Gita Nagari. And then a big guy in the back, in overalls and a long beard, his fist went up and he said, "Amen, brother." And then later I met him. He looked like a simple farmer, but he was one of the first people on the internet, had 25 patents. He was in Washington. And then he thought he had too much information and he better get out. So he sold it and he bought different farms to teach Krishnas how to live off the land. So we know the challenges of modern civilization to spirituality. Just in terms of the water it provides, in terms of the air it provides. Prabhupada called cities sometimes dungeons of demons. You know, people with the money, they always have their estates. He says, because it destroys the finer sentiments of human consciousness. And you can see that when you're out here, we are, even though technically it's a city, but I don't know, we just make a left, and it seems like we're at the end of the city, and after that it's endless land, a little indigenous Goshala right next to us, horse farm. But you can feel environment on consciousness. Paramahamsa Yogananda said, in terms of changing behavior, stronger than willpower based on intellect is the environment's effect on consciousness, and we should be cognizant of that. I have kind of a humorous guilt, but actually it's a guilt nonetheless, because I was born in Brooklyn, and I actually became attached to concrete. I didn't like to go to the country. Sometimes we become attached to things that are not good for us and don't ultimately make us happy. It's so the guilt is I don't have this country feeling, even here I like our property, the beautiful horse I told you, and there's these dogs, and I'm not particularly fond of dogs, but I can feel it. They're just the country, and just being acclimated, and living in a Sutvic environment. It's just so. Some of my best chanting is here. Probably my best. I don't know. And the food. And all the things that affect our consciousness. The environment is in the modes of nature, and according to what you associate with, particularly intimately, Sangha means attachment, but what you associate with, it affects you, and it moves your mind to the mode of the things that you, so the people, the time of the day, the food, the country, all these things, they have effect on consciousness. And Prabhupada was so aware of that. And he was aware of the exploitation of people who maintain the material civilization for their benefit, as Prabhupada said in the purport. I'm going to read some of the things he said, but he said, without being educated properly, the mass of people are following in the footsteps of vested interests by exploiting natural reserves. The artificial way of living, depending on factories and tools, can render so-called happiness only to a limited number at the cost of millions. So material civilization means the very enjoyment you have is at the cost of others. This is pointed out very nicely by a friend of mine. Some of you may know Hari Kirtan. He had this company called Mantra Media Design. And he got somehow a contract to film a dinner of the Peterson Institute. If you look at the Peterson Institute, it has all the former Federal Reserve chairmen from Greenspan to Volcker to whoever they are. It has Rockefeller. It has everyone, the Bank of Switzerland, the Bank of Israel, this bank, that bank. Well, it's the most powerful people in the world. And so Hari Kirtan, he has a quality which called chutzpah. It means, your gall, we call it. I don't know. No shame. Not in general, but it can be used in Krishna. So he walked around at this conference and he went, like he belonged. And there was all these people talking to each other. And he would just say, did we ever consider that we have a philosophy of economics that's trying to give unlimited, resources? That means oil and all these things, the material civil, or tries to give, that requires unlimited resources when the resources themselves are limited. When the resources themselves, they're limited. And not everyone can have this, and everyone can have that. And you ruin the environment in the process. So it really serves the interests of a few. And Prabhupada saw that, and saw how the quality of life was so challenged. I tell this story, those who have listened to my Sangha must have heard it 100 times. But when I was in India, before I went to India, I remember Maya, the grocery man, and he'd go to the supermarket, and he was very proud. He put the paper bag, it wasn't a plastic bag, it was a brown paper bag. He had a pencil on his ear, and then you put your stuff on the counter, and he would put the numbers, and he would be so proud of being able to add them up so quickly. So when I went back, they already had these cashier counters where the items were computerized. You just touch the item and it registers. And I got so surprised. I said, life is, things have advanced so much. But in my early days, Krishna conscious view, I was, oh my God, that's not our philosophy. And then I caught myself and I looked at the cashier. I said, but the quality of life hasn't improved. And that's a fact. That's called Maya Sukaya, the illusion of happiness. The illusion of happiness means that we take steps forward, but we take steps back. Just imagine, the Hudson River at one time was just crystal clear water. Now we've advanced so much, and it's dark black. Previously, all food would be organic. You know, so all the things that we are trying to achieve now, in one sense, of course, there's a period of time where industrialization enters and things become more difficult, and then industrialization improves the problems they cause to a little bit, like Vrindavan. You know, there's always these narrow roads, and then cars started to come, and then they, you know, widened the road, so it kind of made it easier now. Then they control the traffic and things like that. But here Prabhupada is making a very salient point that ultimately things are provided by God. And economics means to properly reciprocate with God. Just even the Govardhan Leela, it's a very, very beautiful story. And Krishna was stopping the yajna. His father was making a yajna to Indra, a sacrifice to Indra, because they were cowherd men, and they depended on the grass, and the grass depends on the rain to feed the cows. So they made a yajna. But the point was, even though there was another point of the story that they weren't worshiping Krishna, that means you got to worship. You don't need to worship them. But the point is, they were pious, and piety. One of the first spiritual qualities is gratitude. You know, I was chanting in the park yesterday for Madhavan. It was a very beautiful setup, and congratulations to the, you know, ISKCON Kali. And we cooperated fully. We gave a substantial donation. When they needed, we provided the sound system. We cooked for 100 people and then transported to them, and, you know, just worked very nicely. When I was chanting in the park with Madhava's kirtan, it was just so sweet. And I was sitting there, and the atmosphere was just so pleasant. People here in Colombia are just so nice. As someone said, it's extremes. You get the best and the worst. But the general common people are very, very nice and accommodating. Even when Vrindavan Kirtan, the drummer for Madhava, came into the airport, he said, when you come to an airport, you can know the nature of the people. And he said, everyone was so welcome, so friendly. And it really creates, so you feel very safe. And very. So I was doing Kirtan, and the weather is just, like if you had a perfect shower of hot and cold, your hands on either thing, and it you couldn't get better. Couldn't get better. And I started to feel gratitude. Such gratitude for what Prabhupada gave, the life he gave, the potential he gave. I was feeling such gratitude. And I realized that yoga meant to live in the soul, and gratitude comes from the soul, actually. True gratitude comes from the soul. So, so I wanted to live in that. That's what my yoga is now, living in the soul. I wanted to live in that gratitude, that feeling, that soul, that eternality, beyond the selfishness of my ego and all the thoughts that come out and fears and anxieties and all the things based on the ego. So the proper culture lives in the consciousness of gratitude. And that consciousness of gratitude is the basis of economic success, not the consciousness of exploitation. Because exploitation, even if you get what you want, your heart suffers so much. And in the future, you'll suffer more. So gratitude, and Prabhupada's going to point that out, is this: is you give taxes to a saintly king, knowing that he's going to use them properly. That God reciprocates with the yagya. Nayam lokasya yagyasya kutanya kuru satana. Without sacrifice, there cannot be happiness in this life or the next. That's the basis of happiness. A partnership will work when there's sacrifice. A family will work when there's sacrifice. A community will work when there's sacrifice. And our relationship with humanity and totality and cosmology, you know, the universe, when we have that mood of sacrifice, which means the world is not just about us. That's material consciousness. And when you have that type of economic consciousness, the world is just about us. The world is just about us. Then things become restricted. And Prabhupada points out the myth of overpopulation. I believe so. I read there's 2 billion acres or something in the United States of America. Practically enough to give everyone in the world an acre of land. Or more than that. I said, more than that. And things are limited. You know, you have a little garden. It's amazing what God has done. You have a little garden. You have three tomato plants, and they supply more tomatoes than you can eat on just a little piece of land. So how much can this unit, it can produce 100,000 times more than we need. And that's the proper economic system. Prabhupada said the sanction of the Supreme Lord must be there. Otherwise, despite all instrumental arrangements, everything will be unsuccessful. The ultimate cause of success is Daiva, the Supreme. Kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira knew perfectly well that the king is the agent of the Lord to look after the welfare of the mass of people. And then, when there's a lack of abundance, there's such enmity. Right? Look, even take the, you know, you can see even the yoga scene is supposed to be so spiritual, but then so many yoga studios, and then if they don't have consciousness, they're competing against each other. Everyone is competing against each other. Poverty destroys all good qualities. In this country of Colombia, there has been a civil war. Not a civil war, but there's been a revolution for 50 years. It was the longest revolution. They signed the peace accord just recently. And then it's the haves and the have-nots. And then, you know, it gets mixed in, invested interest and cocaine and the trade. It's just enmity. Enmity. The Prabhupada said there's enough of everything by the will of the Lord. And we can make proper use of things to live comfortably without enmity between man and man. Man and animal. Man and environment. The control of the Lord is everywhere, and if the Lord is pleased, every part of nature will be pleased. The river will flow profusely. So, and then I'll read for the next verse, because this is a theme that's being presented. Because of the kings having no enmity, the living beings were not at all at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. Even in a pious place, it rains at night, so your activities are not disturbed. It rains at a particular time of year. And when there's rain, sufficient rain, production increases so much. And this is a famous verse because Maharaj Yudhisthira is called Ajatashatru, one who has no enemy. And who has no enemy? He who has no enemy, who has no personal desire. Dira dira janapriyo piyakaro nirmatsaro pujito Sri Chaitanya Kripa Baro Bhubi Bhavo Bharavahanta. One who has dira dira, when you're not envious of anyone, near matsaro. And as soon as you have desire, there's envy. You'll want something someone else has. You won't like those who have it. So, Ajatu Shatro. That's why to perfect Ahimsa, which is the basis of spiritual life, to perfect Ahimsa, you have to be free from personal desire. Otherwise, it'll come out in some form of envy or hate. When you get advanced, you'll see those things coming out. You'll be able to control them. So, and no enemy, Prabhupada said, also means the animals. And Prabhupada makes the point, to be nonviolent to human beings and to be a killer or enemy of the poor animals is Satan's philosophy. In this age, there's enmity towards poor animals, and therefore the poor creatures are always anxious. The reaction of the poor animals is being forced on human society, and therefore there's always strain of cold or hot wars between men, individually, collectively, or nationally. And Prabhupada talked in the purport that there actually used to be a one-world government. There would be an emperor of the world who is beneficent, and there would be subservient states. And of course it was the best function when that person with that power is beneficent. Because then the right decisions and justice and everything is automatically generated throughout the whole society. And Prabhupada says also, very, unless one is pious and recognized by the Lord, he cannot make others happy who are under his care. Because you won't have the consciousness or the facility to actually do it. Unless one is pious and recognize, you won't have the consciousness to make other people's happy. And you won't have the facility to do it. Means God is all powerful and he's all good. If he's not good, he won't want to help you. And if he's not powerful, he can't do it. So same thing with an individual. If he's not good, he won't want to help you. And if he's not, if he doesn't have the resources, he can't. So actually protect someone under your care. You have to be pious and recognize. Otherwise, you may have the resources, but not the consciousness. You'll have the consciousness. You have the consciousness, then you'll have the resources. I'm just watching in amazement this whole scene of all these people setting up this beautiful wedding. And I hope I get pictures of it, because it's quite spectacular to see all the people coming forward to do all this wonderful service. And again, that the beauty that expresses love. And I made this point about Janmashtami, when there's the beautiful sounds and there's the beautiful tastes and the beautiful sights that are products of love, then the people who smell, see, and taste, though, feel that love. I'm just seeing this environment. It's already beautiful with the spectacular flower decorations. I don't know how they figured out this, but these huge trees, and they have ropes hanging down with bottles. And the bottles are all filled with flowers. And it's love. We want the people here to be pleased. We want to serve them. We want to serve them. And you can see when you have a function like this, how everyone wants to serve. And that's real happiness. Happiness is service. You can just see it. Service out of love. They love the couple that are here, the parents are here, the children from a previous marriage of the groom. Wow. Yeah, it's just it communicates that. And that's what festivals are in Krishna consciousness. It's especially that for the mass of people to feel love of God in their hearts by that expression of love of God. Just like Madhava's kirtan yesterday, and always, it's such a special quality. And it was an interesting thing watching his kirtan, because Kali is the, I think, the recognized salsa capital of the world. And people love to dance, and they really like to get going. And Madhav is so determined that passion will not overcome Baba. Baba's love in the heart. And in terms of kirtan, the best kirtan is when all the actions are coming from the love. So he will not allow the kirtans to get wild. Because if they go faster than the love that people have, then it will just connect with their passion or their modes of nature. So it's just very interesting how determined he is, and at the same time, how determined. Martin, good morning.
How are you, man?
Good, good. No problem. Just nice to see you. I just give class every week at this time. What? Well, usually I have a phone, and then people call in, usually in America, but I'm doing it by Skype now. I'm just talking about Madhava's kirtan.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't here.
You didn't make any of his kirtan?
I didn't make it. I got it yesterday afternoon. Because I was at the home.
Okay. It was so incredible to see his kirtan.
I'm sorry I missed it, but is he playing again one more time?
No.
Yes, it is.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm just talking to someone. He's a musician. Very, very pious guy. One of our ashram directors, and I think we'll bring him to America, has an incredible band. It's very unique. It's called the Bhakta Project. And it has, I think it's some of the best musicians, incredible musicians, actually. And he wanted so much to see Madhava's kirtan. He's telling you he missed it, but I was watching Madhava. And I went three times, but once they really went too fast. And he kind of politely kind of brought it down and then kind of ended the kirtan. he really has a realization. He's trying to teach it. He really wants people to focus on the name and have their what they do to be an expression of love. It's so easy to degrade that. When the people take the feeling of ecstasy and they transform it into their own passion. So, okay. Are any questions? And then I probably have to go. Get ready for the wedding. Someone say hello so I know people are still there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Great to hear from you. Hare Bo.
It's so nice to hear about how wonderful it is there.
Actually, yeah, and, you know, Kastubh is here. And, you know, he's setting, they flew him in from New York because they knew him. And he's busy setting up a beautiful, beautiful yajna. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Hanan and Sweet Obeisances.
Hare Bo. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
I do have a question.
Anybody else? Oh, go ahead.
When you said gratitude of the soul, it kind of interests me when you use this term, like the different grades of gratitude, the different levels. So what did you mean by saying that?
I guess, you know, sometimes I guess it's the philosophy and sometimes I'm expressing my own realization. But I just feel that, you know, what is the soul? The soul is consciousness, which at its fruition is love. And it seems to me that the first budding sense of that love, the first budding sense of that love is that feeling of gratefulness, which means there is something higher than myself that I am, you know, that's helping me. It's an expression of mercy, of feeling mercy. So I think that's what I meant. And as I was saying it, I realized that, yeah, there could be all kinds of material conceptions of it at the same time. And a lot of times things have to be realized, not just understood. So I'm trying to understand this. It's kind of like even when you say Krishna's blue, is it blue like we have it? Or is that something we meditate on, which allows us to understand its real nature? And I think it's something like that with gratitude. It must be in the soul. And that if we feel that way, it's kind of, well, we're coming towards that. Okay?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo, Gail. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'm going to end today because I got to get going with so many things. Thank you all for coming on today. Hare Krishna. Panchakopa Tarubhya Sakha Krishna.